we offer a warm welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Is the voice of the church being heard in our day? If not, why not? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have established your church on this earth, the body of those who believe in Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve as your witnesses in this world, but we confess, O God, that we have failed in so many ways. So today we pray that you will not only forgive us our sins, but that you, Holy Spirit, will strengthen us, enlighten us, and give us courage to be that consistent voice that is heard in the community where we live with the message of Jesus Christ. This is our prayer that we ask in your holy name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with verse 1. St. Paul had established a church in Corinth, and it was a church that gave him some difficulty. It was a sort of a worldly church in one sense of the word, for they were living in a worldly community. Here Paul writes, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly?" Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Take my heart and seal it now.
friends in Christ. There were times in my ministry that I wondered if anyone cared too much about what was going on in the church. Today I feel differently. I believe that the church has caught the attention of many in the world. At least the media devotes a considerable amount of time to what is happening in the church. Now, some of it we do not like to hear. It's negative, and we are embarrassed. When you have these accounts of sexual perversion among clergy, that catches the attention not only of church members, but people outside of the church. How can this happen? These people ask. These are the ones who have been ordained by the church or set apart in one way or another. They confess to be the servants of Christ. How can they do this? Or it may be something like this. A person says to you, "I can't understand that in the church you give endorsement to same-sex marriages or ordination of practicing homosexuals. The Bible speaks clearly about that, doesn't it?" And so you try to say, well, just remember, not all of the church is giving that endorsement, just a part of it. But they say, how can any part of it even begin to think of endorsing such teachings that are so contrary to what we believe must be in the Bible? Well, it is an embarrassing situation, but you've caught the attention of this old world. Or here's another one. If you believe that life begins at conception, why are you not united in a voice and action against abortion? And that's a pretty difficult one to answer too, isn't it? It's an inconsistency in the minds of at least some of us. Or here's one that you hear quite often now. How can your political candidates make statements like this? "I am a Christian, but I would never let my faith interfere with my duties as an officer of the state." And the person says to you, how can a person be a Christian and leave all of that outside when he goes into the legislative body to do his work? That Christianity really must not have really taken much hold in his life. Well, we hate to hear some of these things, but I think we again have to say we have gotten the attention of the world. At least some of them are thinking about what's going on in there, and they're wondering. On the other hand, there's a very positive side to this, too. I believe that the world is far better informed today, in 2004, than it was at this same time in 2003. They're better informed regarding the Christian faith. A person like Mel Gibson has done a great deal for us, I believe. His movie, The Passion, has told the world why Jesus Christ died. He died for the sins of the world. He died that man might be forgiven and restored into fellowship with God, both for now and for all eternity. Right along with Gibson's movie was Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It has sold millions of copies, and around these United States of ours, we have had people huddled together in churches and in home study groups as they went into the contents of what Warren was saying on the basis of Holy Scripture regarding Christianity. For example, it has explored the personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and then to give serious thought to the biblical teaching of one like this. Compared with eternity, life is brief. Earth is only a temporary residency. Isn't that something to be discussing? And it comes right from that book. As people are assembled in large groups or small groups to give this their real thought. Or, as I met with a group of business people not long ago, and some of them very affluent, Warren confronts them with this on the basis of Scripture. If you want to be a servant of Christ, you are going to have to solve the money question in your life. You cannot serve God and mammon. Don't tell me that a statement like that does not get the attention of the world as they wonder what's going on in the church. Yes, today I believe that the church has caught the attention of many in the world. While it is in this tense time, when the church is being scrutinized by the world, that we have to ask ourselves a few questions. And I wonder, are we courageous enough to examine ourselves and ask honestly, what is the world seeing as they look at the church, Christ's body, on this earth? Do we have biblical answers for the world's questions? This is a real opportunity and a challenge to make God's word known to unbelieving people. Many of their questions come because they do not fully understand what the Christian church is all about. They're expecting it to be some kind of a perfect organization when the Bible has never said that it was nor that it would be while here on this earth. But is there a part of the Bible that you could go to that presents a church in a similar setting so that we could see how it was dealt with in those days? And the answer to that is certainly it is a church at Corinth. At the same time I was giving these questions much thought in my own mind, I decided that I was going to read through very carefully the book of 1 Corinthians. Then I also was given a book. Coincidentally, some may say, I don't think so. I believe it was providentially. And that book is Basic Christian Leadership by John Stott. That book presents a very detailed study on the early chapters of 1 Corinthians. I read this book carefully once, and I read it again, and I concluded that for a few weeks I would use as a general theme for my sermons on Christian Crusaders, the church under scrutiny. And it is based primarily on the first five chapters of 1 Corinthians, scattered passages as we move about. I will also receive some of my thoughts from these messages that have come in Dr. Stott's book. No way do I want to be guilty of plagiarism. Those who know me realize that I could never be capable of such insights as Dr. Stott presents in his book. If I misinterpret Dr. Stott, then I'm anxious to take the blame and do not be critical of him. I am, like most pastors today, a general practitioner. And we have the scholars in the church. These are the people who have an anointed spirit and a blessed mind that can penetrate the scriptures, and then after they have come forth with some of its deepest meanings, make them clear to us who are the general practitioners, and it is our job then, on the basis of the Word of God, to make them known to the worshiping congregation. But along with these sermons that I'm going to preach now the next few weeks, I would urge you to buy this book, and it is entitled Basic Christian Leadership by John Stott, S-T-O-T-T. John Stott was the rector at All Souls Church in London for many years. He is a talented biblical expositor, and a prolific writer. He is often referred to as the elder statesman of evangelical Christianity. I met that man only once, and how I would like to sit at his feet again. That was at the World Congress on Evangelism in Lausanne, Switzerland, many years ago. but he continues to make the voice of God clear as he moves about in the world. Well, now let's go to this little book, the book that Paul wrote to the people at Corinth. Two of them, but we're just going to deal with the first five chapters of the first book. Corinth, you know, was a part of the Roman Empire. It was a trading center, a religious center. It honored many gods. It was a recreational center and had certain acrobatic games. But it was also very much so a heathen center. Paul organized the church there. In his writings now, this is the first of these many quotes that you're going to receive from John Stott. He says, in this city, this heathen city, there lived a group of people whom Paul called the Church of God in Corinth, the divine community in the human community. It was like a fragrant flower growing in and out of a smelly mud. The Christians at Corinth were pulled between two influences. Then what the one was being faithful to God, and then the other one was following the way of the flesh. So as Paul looked at this congregation, he saw their inconsistencies, the ambiguity. He said that on one hand, you are supposed to love one another, for that is of God. But within your midst, there is all kinds of jealousy and quarreling among you. That's what I read for the text today. If you're really sanctified, if you have really grown in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul went on to say these things would be diminishing, but they don't seem to be. You become more jealous all the time. It's just as if, okay, this is my Christianity, but I can't follow that all the time. And so when I leave the place of worship or the association with Christian friends and I go out into that hard old world as they knew it in Corinth, then I'm going to have to adapt my behavior to that situation. No, no, Paul said, not at all. That you cannot do. You have been told that you should live a pure life. In other words, God has not left you without some understanding of how he wants you to live. But the way you're living is certainly not a pure life. There's a lot of sexual immorality among you. You can't have that. You simply cannot let your bodies be given over to this immorality and call yourself Christians. You're supposed to be united in Christ. But there are all kinds of divisions among you. That shows that there is a real inconsistency. Their profession and their life caused the Corinthians, who were not Christians, to ask, what goes on with these people? They talk one way, and they act another. And again, John Stott writes, there is a paradox at the heart of the church. It is a painful tension between what the church claims to be and what it seems to be, between the divine ideal and the human reality. This is the ambiguity of the church in Corinth. Now then, I would like to ask you in the minutes that we have left, is this a picture of the Church of Jesus Christ in America in the 21st century? That we are ambiguous? That, for example, there is an inconsistency in our living? Of course. The world then would ask, well, how can this be? Are you then not an organization of hypocrites, professing one thing and doing something else? And of course we are. And that's what we have to admit. And Billy Graham has said that too. He says, by all means, look for the church, and when you find it where there is no hypocrite, then join it. But remember that when you do join it, it ceases to be the perfect church. Now, Billy Graham is saying that we will never, and the Word of God says it even more so, that we will never in the church reach perfection. There is never going to be the perfect church. On the other hand, the church cannot tolerate all manner of sin and error and just go on and say, well, that's the way we are, isn't it? Stott goes on and quotes John Newton, who wrote, "I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am not what I once used to be, and by the grace of God, I am what I am." In other words, there was a progression in the holy life. And anything less than that is an inconsistency. As unbelievers point out our inconsistencies, we can only go on to say, and that's what I address to you today, the world who is listening to us, we are not perfect people, but Christ has forgiven us. I'm not perfect, nor am I going to be perfect on this earth. And if you are looking for the perfect church, you will not find it. We are sinners who are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But neither can we lull ourselves to sleep in the grace of God, to hang on to those biblical teachings where they fit our liking, and discard those that are not in harmony with the culture of our world. I believe that one of our greatest mistakes today is that we have bathed ourselves in some kind of a traditional Christianity that is so inconsistent with the Word that if Jesus came back, as some have said, he would hardly know us. Where God's Word speaks, we've got to be able to speak. And we've got to let this world know whose attention we now have captured. Look, we are still the children of God. Imperfect. But come and join us. And there you too will taste of the mercy and the grace and the love of God. And you too can be his for all eternity. There is inconsistency in the church, but God still uses his old church and prays that we will soon grow up. Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have as members of the Church of Jesus Christ to speak to this world. We thank you that the world is taking a look at the church. They are scrutinizing the church. And grant that we may confess our wrongs, but may we ever point the world to Jesus Christ, who takes away our sin, and then help us to grow up and to know what it is to live as a faithful servant of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May our hearts continue to be touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Share the word of Christian Crusaders with a friend, relative, or neighbor. By making more people aware, we can increase our radio and internet ministry by sharing the word and spreading the light so no one walks in darkness. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry. Gifts to our ministry are tax deductible and are used to spread the gospel message on radio broadcasts in 11 states across the nation and worldwide on the internet. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders with their gifts and prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 42 years.